Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable, home maintenance.
Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got our pick for tonight, Bills, Patriots, a little bit later this hour. Pierre LeBrun will join us here in just a moment as well on the goal by McDavid last night and the goal by Mitch Marner. I mean, that's the big story in Toronto, is that Mitch Marner's hit 18 games in a row with a point, tying Eddie Olczyk and Daryl Sittler, and a chance to make it 19 moving forward, and that would rewrite the record books. Like, he's already added himself into that group, and it could be him sitting atop that list. And, you know, last year it was all about Matthews and chasing 50 and then 55 and then 60, and this is different because it's a point streak, and it's in December now, but it's got a similar type of magical feel to it, you know, where I think the Leaf fans are really captivated by this, as they should be.
Everybody and watching was. Awesome. Carlo talked about it. That's the only reason you watch the game. It was like, is this guy going to get a point? And he pulled it off with the empty net. It was fun to watch.
Really fun. Yep. And what are they at Tampa, I think, on Saturday? Is that their next game?
I thought they were home to Tampa.
Okay, well, no, they got Tampa
right.
Next.
Sorry, you're right. It's at Tampa on Saturday. That's
so
my mistake.
That'll be a tough one. You know,
tough building.
That's, you're playing Tampa. We know the history there. Then they're at Dallas on Tuesday. Dallas has been really good. Then they come home for a bit of a homestand. Kings, Flames, Ducks. But listen, until it ends, it's the Mitch Marner show. And I think the celebration in the room, obviously, really cool to see. He said all the right things, did all the right things. He was relieved. He wants it. Like, why would you not? You know, I have an appreciation for that, too. Why would you not want that record? Why would you not want points every single night? Go for it. And he achieved it last night. And on top of it, the Leafs get another win. And as we pointed out earlier, that's 25 of a possible 30 points in the month of November. That's how you turn your season around.
Didn't you say earlier they're third in the league overall?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got Boston, who won again, right? You got Boston and New Jersey, and I think they're sitting there, maybe Seattle's tied with them.
Yeah, it depends on if you go points or points per game, because I think the Leafs have played 25 games, and some teams have played 22, 23, 24. So, yeah, they're third in the league, and tied with Vegas, third in the league with points, and points per game, I think they're fifth. Which, I mean, still, top five teams.
Yeah, they've lost five times in regulation. I mean, ultimately, exactly. That, like, when you speak to how great Boston's been, and they have been, Boston's lost three times. The Leafs have only lost two more times in Boston in regulation, to put that into perspective. And some of those losses were Montreal, Arizona, you know, some pretty poor teams. But anyway, the Leafs, you know, it wasn't a barn burner last night, but you got what you wanted if you're a Leaf fan, because Marner got his point and the Leafs got a win. And obviously we were talking about that McDavid goal last night. There's a lot going on in the NHL every single night. You know, every night there's something going on.
Crazy.
And that's the way it should be. The same thing in the NBA. You know, there's always, like, every night you can bank on it. There's going to be some crazy play, some injury, something wild going on. And that's what keeps you on the edge of your seat.
And I like that. It was November, and it's, you know, people are excited for stuff, right? So you go through a lull. Now we'll see what December brings, because it's, you know, now you've got Christmas around the corner. That I think people are starting to get miserable with the weather. I'll be honest, myself.
Yes.
Waking up like today was the first time I was cold. Like for the most part, I'm fine. I was walking the kids to school this morning. I had a growl on, like I was pissed because it was cold out. Like, it felt winter today.
Yes, I agree with you.
That's me being soft, and I apologize, but, like, that, I felt it today.
It's snow pants downtown type of weather. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I agree. It's the ultimate icebreaker. I went to get my tires changed today at a great spot, MR Automotive. My man Martin, huge fan of the show.
Shout out to Martin.
Huge fan of the show. Marty is a great guy.
Love it, Marty.
And I think it was his sister who was at the front, and she's like, "How about this weather?" I'm like, "Yep." Yeah. And she's like, "I've lived here my whole life." I'm like, "Me too." Which I have an appreciation for is that Canadians can admit we're Canadian, we love being Canadian, but the weather sucks right now.
It doesn't
make you anti-Canadian or, hey, if you don't like it, get out of here. Why? It's just, you like it? You love
dude,
being,
trust
you know,
me,
it's
I
cold.
Know about it too. My car broke down on the way to Collingwood. I had no tire. I was on the side of the road, and I was stuck in my house. I had to walk everywhere in this weather to do something, and it's so pathetic. But to walk, to, like, get food, it's not. I pulled a stunt that, I don't know, will you guys weigh in? I called my buddy Foss, who owns a funeral home, and I asked if I could borrow one of the cars on the property.
He drove a hearse over,
You're
didn't
kidding
he?
Me. A hearse?
No, I said...
A hearse.
No. I said, other than the hearse, is there another vehicle there that is...
What else would be available?
You know what they have at funeral homes? They have those three... Like, it's those limousines where there's, like, a middle seat, two middle door. Like, it's, like, three rows of seating for the limousine. Yeah. Because
and
the,
I
know,
was
the
kind of a little...
Right.
I was. He goes, we used to have an old van, and I was like, man, that van probably transport. Like, it was probably not the funnest van, right?
I can't even imagine seeing you drive around in a hearse. Or a limousine. Imagine this guy, Lloyd Christmas, around Collingwood trying to reverse park a limousine with a funeral tag on the window. I mean, how hilarious that would be.
I just got desperate. I was like getting antsy, and I'm getting older, and I like to just putter around, and I'm like, I need my car. And I'm like, Foss owns a funeral home. Maybe there's an extra car down there.
Dude.
And he just said no. He flat out said
get
no.
This guy
I know,
hearse.
But we've got Pierre on the line, but I know Hayes, we gotta go back to this because wasn't that early days, was it Leaf Lunch where we were gonna buy a hearse?
Yeah, well, because there was a hearse, like I want to say, like Browns fans or someone was bringing a hearse to a big, like to games.
Yes, there was a hearse for sale or something, and
yeah.
I was like, we should buy one and drive around and have a Leaf Lunch logo.
I think you're right, and I used to reference when I used to live on Young, there was someone in my neighborhood drove a hearse. Like the guy, that's what he did. He just drove around. Like he'd be outside of a bar. It's like, yeah, there he is, Gary with his hearse. Like I'd see it every third or fourth day. Every third or fourth day. We're talking like North Toronto here. Guys driving around in a hearse, and it was normal activity. It was our community hearse guy, and I think maybe it spawned that conversation. And
we need to
get into that.
Yeah, we got to go back to that.
All right, here's our TSN hockey insider Pierre LeBrun. What's happening, Pierre?
I learned a lot about O-Dog there in that segment. I was ready to just sit back and keep listening and maybe have a little trip to Collingwood in a couple of weeks. By the way, I have a rule about the weather in Canadians, and I hope you guys can back me on this, but we are the biggest whiners about weather, and that's okay, because we have some harsh weather in our country, particularly where I grew up, by the way, in Hearst. But I believe that you're allowed to either complain about the winter and cold days or about the summer in the hot parts of our country, in hot and muggy days. But if you're a person that complains both in the heat of July and in the cold, harsh winter, then I think that's too much.
Dude, the guy that says it's so hot out I can't take it is absurd.
Right. You cannot burn the candle at both ends. You can't do it.
You got to decide which kind of person you are.
Right.
Okay.
Complain about the heat
or
the cold, not both. Noodles, you do both.
Yeah,
I do both
because I'm an indoors person. I'm like an indoor cat. I don't like going outside.
I
will say this. I spent 12 days in California recently. I walked every day after, you walk outside in shorts. So that's why I was actually apologizing for feeling soft because it was 5 days ago I would get up out of my hotel room and walk next door for a smoothie or something. I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. 8 o'clock in the morning. This morning, I had a ski mask on and a winter coat because that's how cold I felt.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. You got to grind. You got to pick your poison, right? Which one do you complain about? We're allowed one. I'm with you on that, Peter.
No long johns yet. Come on. Let's go.
No, it's December 1. It's all good. Yeah, we've been obviously talking about the Leafs and pumping their tires because they deserve it. They picked up 25 points of 30 available in the month of November. Mitch Marner, 18 games in a row with a point. Samsonov returns from injury, looked outstanding last night. I mean, everything's being checked off for the Leafs, isn't it, Pierre, right now? It's incredible.
It really is. And don't forget the kind of drama that that was surrounding this team early in the season. Literally having conversations on your show and others about whether or not Sheldon Keefe was a loss away from getting fired. Can you even believe that happened? But it did. And a fantastic November. 2 years in a row, they've been great in November. But this time they do it with, you know, so many injuries on their blue line. And Mitch Marner playing arguably the best hockey of his career. It's been really impressive. And, you know, this has to be noted. I mean, the Leafs goaltending has held up. Now, you know, it comes with an asterisk. Both Samsonov and Matt Murray have had different stints injured. And I think combined, I think they've been hurt. Was it 26 games combined that they've missed combined? But the reality is, who cares? Between them, whoever's been healthy, they've put up solid goaltending numbers. So far, that gamble from Kyle Dubas, it has to be noted because everyone was hard on him when he added these two guys in the summer. So far, what I believe was the greatest gamble of the offseason in goal of all the goalies that changed teams has absolutely worked for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But let's see about this durability and let's see how this goes over 82 games of the playoffs.
So, Pierre, in some of your pieces, I've heard you talk about rival GMs weighing in or rival hockey people weighing in on a specific team. Has the kind of narrative changed on the Leafs or where they're at or how they are going to be to contend with? Just general chatter amongst the other people around the league?
Yeah. So I kind of covered some of it just now, O'Dog. The biggest concern that I would get from other front offices when the season began was the gamble in net. The rest they had no qualms over. I mean, other teams like the way this team is built. They believe the Leafs will have a strong year, and that's what's happening. It's interesting. The other night, I think Steve Yzerman did an intermission chat on TNT with Rick Tocchet, and just he was talking about the modern game, and out of nowhere, he mentions how he thinks the Leafs were one of the best teams at what they do in the offensive zone, like, you know, unsolicited. And you get a lot of that in terms of the way the Leafs are playing. And it's why, you may remember, I think the last time I was on, you guys asked me about whether there was an urgency for the Leafs to go out and trade for a D. And if you remember my answer, I really felt that the Leafs front office was trying to just get through this without making any panic move and then wait as long as they could in the season to address that. And this stretch now of success through November has allowed them to do just that. They don't have to do anything out of a bad leverage position. And so that's a huge thing. The other thing I would say is if we look back in the spring and this team has finally broken through in the playoffs, I'm allowed to look ahead, guys, okay? Let me do this. Let's say they not only win a round but go deep in the playoffs. I want to know how much we're going to look back and give credence to the way Sheldon Keefe came out of the gate swinging in terms of his demeanor. The comments about his players opening night in training camp. Just a fiery Sheldon Keefe like we had never seen before in terms of setting the tempo for what he was going to be willing to accept or not right out of the gates. I'm just saying, I think it's interesting now that things have gone swimmingly now, that we're obviously past that, but that was a big part of October, wasn't it? The way the Leafs head coach was sounding.
Yeah, he was taking shots after game one. I mean, game one, and to say nothing of the Coyotes game, which was game three or four, with Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider. The Leafs are breathing easier, clearly. Dubas is breathing easier, as he should be. I'm wondering about management out in Winnipeg, where they turn over the head coach, they bring in Rick Bonus, they rip off the C from Wheeler's chest, they challenge the group, and I would suggest that the answer has been supplied, that the group is up for the challenge, because the Jets have been really, really good. How does that affect what could happen with the Jets moving forward, because they're on a heater now, and Hellebuck looks as good as ever as well, Pierre.
They are a phenomenal story right now. And now you said they ripped the C off Wheeler. I feel like it was more knowing Rick Bonus. Hey, Blake, how you doing? Let's have a chat. No, I'm just kidding. But
still off.
Rip the C off rip doesn't seem like what really off. Happened there. But yeah, it's off. It's off. It's an amazing story. And I've used this example before, and I feel like it really fits. But do you remember when Dale Hunter came in for the last half season in Washington to coach, and it was like, you could tell he was like, I can do what I want because I don't care. I'm not here forever. And there was such an impact from his arrival in Washington. And I feel like this is what we're getting with Rick Bonus in Winnipeg. He's not in this for the long haul, guys. Yeah. I think he gave serious thought about retiring after last year in Dallas. You know, he's in his, I think he's 66.
67,
and
I believe. Yeah,
the reality,
exactly.
67, and you know, had the COVID scare earlier this year, but this specific opportunity spoke to him in terms of going back to Winnipeg. But I feel it's clear if you look at the way Rick Bonus is handling himself, it's like, guys, we're doing it this way, and that's that. I'm not going anywhere, and you know, like, you're not getting this coach fired, is my point. Like, Rick Bonus will be here for a year or two maybe, but he's doing it his way, and I think it's clear when you see that in terms of the confidence of a head coach. Because I, you know, some people never admit this, but 90% of the time a coach is always either obviously trying to salvage his current job, but often also thinking about his next job in terms of how he's handling himself. Okay, like, that's what you got to do when you're a professional head coach. This is Rick Bonus saying, I'm going out on my terms. And I think the players have responded, and they know that there's no BS, and they know that he's not going to deal with any BS. And that's important for a dressing room that clearly, they've talked about it openly, so I'm not, you know, that needed to sort of clear the air after last year. And that's a great story. I mean, and he wasn't even their first pick. Like, again, let's be honest. They tried to hire Barry Trotz. They laid out the red carpet for Barry Trotz, and he wasn't ready to commit to anyone, and so the plan B was Rick Bonus. So there you go.
Pierre, I don't think Bobby Lou necessarily cares about this. He's got a great life. He's got a bunch of money. He's got a position with the Florida Panthers. But why wouldn't the Vancouver Canucks, it seems like a slam dunk to retire his jersey. Like, why wouldn't that take place? Is there a big difference between the Ring of Honor? But it just seemed like he's in the Hall of Fame. He's an unbelievable guy and goaltender. Why not retire the jersey out in Vancouver?
I mean, I can't tell you, O-Dog, that I've given it a single moment of thought, to be honest. I saw that there was some talk of it on social media. It's a no-brainer to me. I mean, yeah. His time in Vancouver, he was as dominant a goalie as there was in the NHL and brought the team to the Stanley Cup final. He was even their captain for a while, for goodness sake, as a goalie. I think he absolutely deserves it. And I can't believe for a second, and I don't know if anyone's gone here with this, but the heck, I'll throw it out there. I can't believe for a second that ownership would still have it in for him because he retired before the end of his contract, which ended up slapping the Canucks with a cap recapture penalty. Yeah, there's no way that would be. Like, I can't believe that. Maybe I'm one of those guys that believes in the good in people, but if there's anyone out there that thinks that would be part of it, I think there's no way. I mean, I think his number will be retired there or honored in Vancouver one year.
Well, it's honored, but what perplexes me is that Pavel Bure's number is retired there, and Luongo played right. The same amount of time there. It's like 7 years.
Seven years, right?
Yeah. Bure's a Hall of Famer. Luongo's a Hall of Famer. You just mentioned, like, I not that I forgot, but there's a lot of people that forgot. Roberto Luongo was a captain. They gave him the captaincy.
I'm guessing that's the market, though. It's the reading. Like, Bure was a god in Vancouver. And I'm not saying Luongo wasn't revered, but Bure was like a different beast, was he not? I mean,
he was electric. He's
the most electrifying player in franchise history, for sure.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about
that.
But
he didn't take them, like, okay, so they went to the finals,
they went
too,
to a cup final, yeah, 94.
They lost to the Rangers in 94. Roberto took them to a Game 7 in 2010.
I hear you.
And they lost 4-0. Unless he could have scored that night, like, I think he did his job.
I'm saying the reason behind it, and I don't have the answer,
right,
is how they think the fans will react. I'm assuming all the fans in Vancouver are like, Burray, 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 Sedin, Sedin, Sedin. And it could be the contract. It could be the way it went out. It could be the retirement. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why you distinguish between the two.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's weird.
That goes into a lot of these things, I would assume.
By the way, 2011, not 2010.
Oh, sorry, yeah, 2011. Yeah, noodles. Sorry. Yeah,
you got to get the year right because there's still a lot of angst in Vancouver over the way that.
Well, I was there that night. All I remember is hiding in Gotham Steakhouse basement because I was there and had a few drinks, and I was wearing a black T-shirt, and there were people who thought I was a Bruins fan, and I was just wearing a bar shirt because I was expecting to go get drunk with my buddies. And, you know, it was a gong show there,
so,
which
so
is still
you weren't
there,
at the Roxy?
Well, I wanted to go, but they closed everything down. Like, flat out closed everything down.
By the
down.
Way, I missed Game 7. I was covering the Stanley Cup Final and had to come home because my wife was, we thought, going into labor for my twins. As it turns out, it was a false alarm, but I was already back on the plane. But when I saw all the riots, I was like, eh. You know.
Yeah. Maybe
okay, I'll watch Game 7.
Yeah, probably in your best interest. Yeah. Well, we'll see, Pierre. Thanks for doing this, buddy. We always appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Cowboys going to 9-3 Sunday night. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider and our Cowboys resident super fan. And, yeah, listen, Cowboys, they're all right. They're all right. You know, credit where credit's due. I'm a Packers fan. I don't really have much to say these days. Cowboys, they're going to the playoffs. And Odell Beckham Jr. is likely going to sign there probably on Monday, I think. He's already doing his tour. Giants, he's going to check out the Bills, and then he's going to head down to Dallas, I believe.
Well, if he's going to sign in Dallas, why is he going to the other places? Like,
yeah. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know. Wasting time, or maybe he feels obligated
agent
to give him a chance.
Leverage, or what? I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, but probably. Exactly. All right, Al's brothers coming up with the pick. Team Luke's brothers are on the clock for this game. Bills favored at Foxborough tonight. We'll come back and get into the pick. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Al's brother coming up here in a moment representing Luke's brothers and their pick tonight. Pats at Bills. Deshaun Watson making his return this weekend in Houston. And I'm sure he's the last guy in the world that actually wants to be playing, yet he's got to play to eventually get back into the league and, I guess, move on. Although this story is never going to leave him. I mean, it's going to hang around him forever. But what a strange scene it's going to be to see Watson play for the first time in 2 years in Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
It's crazy that this is what's coming. I mean, I don't know. I can't even wrap my head around the idea that this guy's back and playing and for Cleveland and making the money he's making, and he returns in Houston. And, like, we were discussing guys returning and what kind of a reception they're going to get. He is going to get absolutely destroyed in Houston.
I wonder what he actually thinks. Like, I wonder where his headspace is at. Like, does he feel like I shouldn't even be doing this, or – I don't know. I just wonder where that guy's headspace is at as far as returning to play.
Right.
Let alone his teammates.
No, exactly. And it's not like anyone is going to sympathize or empathize, but you're right. If just being honest, if he could take a pass on the game, he probably would. You know, but you can't. Like, you got to play. Browns are paying them a fortune. And that's, you know, a game between two teams who are out of it and done, yet it's going to get a ton of focus.
Yep.
Before we bring in Al's brother, you guys want to hear this Patrick Peterson clip on a podcast about Kyler Murray? And Peterson obviously was a teammate in Arizona, and he's in Mini now. And
you got a response, too, right? Didn't somebody say, wasn't it Kyler was like, you got my
Murray's
number,
responded.
Call me.
Yeah, Murray's, yeah. We'll play it, and then I'll read you the Twitter response by Murray, but this is Patrick Peterson on Kyler Murray.
I think he should keep some things privately, but it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of the fact.
So that's a pretty harsh statement. But it is consistent with kind of his reputation as being a
guy. No kidding.
That,
and for a guy to like come outside the lines and just sewer him and say that's all he cares about of himself. It brings back the video games and that's all he wants to do, and the clause in his contract, and you just wonder what the hell you got there for a guy that you gave that much money.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, this feels bitter, though. Like, it feels like Peterson's like, well, why didn't I get the money? But Murray got the money, so I don't like this guy anymore. Like, remember when he picked him off in that Vikings game, and then he was doing the video game? He was mocking him. He's just mocking the guy, you know? And it's like, even if this is true to an extent, you know, is he a bad dude? Has he done anything personally to, like, really ruin the life of Patrick Peterson?
Right.
To go to the point where you're mocking him, and now you're just saying the guy's just outright selfish and only cares about himself?
Yeah, there's
got to
be
something
more.
I mean, it's like piling on now with Kyler Murray.
There's got to be, to me, there's got to be something more. Like a backstory or something here that we don't see. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, that just, I prefer that they keep it behind the scenes, but... You know, nowadays, guys,
everyone's got a podcast.
Everyone's not shy to go at each other. These podcasts are just wide open. Just start shooting from the hip.
They sure are. And yeah, Murray responded last night saying, this isn't true. You're on some weird stuff. You got my number. If you really felt like this is a big bro or mentor, you supposedly could have called me, or you could tell me, not drag me so your podcast can grow. Yeah. Listen,
that's fair.
Yeah, I understand why Murray might be pissed, but it's cat's out of the bag now. Anyway, all right, you guys want to bring in Al's brother? He's waiting patiently.
Yes.
He's got tremendous information. He's got picks. He's ready to go. Will he have a tie on? Will he have a hat on? Let's see. Here's our main man, Al's brother. Play the music if you got it.
The final try of the first star, Al's brother.
Yes, the hat. Luke's Brothers Incorporated. The first star, too. That's a first star clip from LeBron.
Wow.
That means you must be in a good spot, Al's brother.
Yeah, we're not doing too shabby here, unlike yourself, who just, honestly, Hayes, the rut you're in right now might be worse than the one I was in a year ago.
It's a big.
Well, let's not.
Remember when you made fun of him? This guy's a cooler. You're cooler.
You're Jack Frost. You are Jack Frost.
You're Yeti. You're Yeti the cooler.
It's cool.
What is the official stats right now? Have we kept track?
15-9 on the season. These guys are 15-19. Yes. They are 18-14-2. Lots of games left.
So they're only three games ahead of you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You would think these guys were 100 points ahead of me.
Noodles, you could also look at it this way. We're four games above 500. He's four games under 500. I prefer to look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, you guys got two pushes, which, again, is just the most embarrassing column you can have. Like, you barely get it onto the Chiron.
Well, Ollie, you know what? Hayes just needs a good weekend, and he's right back in the mix.
That's the beauty, Noodles, is that these guys are starting to get cocky. They're starting to get loud.
They'll unravel at some point.
Everything's going to happen. I've been calling my shot. I truly believe in this. It's going to happen. And I think it probably starts tonight. Because this is a tough game. So, Al's brother, what are you seeing on the line? Is it still Bills minus 3.5 on FanDuel?
Yeah, I've got a 3.5 spread here.
Okay. So this is your pick. This is a big game. Luke Wilson, I don't know. Is he MIA? Is he being
included? Hang on a sec. Have you talked to him?
We spoke on the phone today on my way home from work.
All I want to know, fella.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
At least 25 minutes on the phone. We were going back and forth, figuring out who we wanted to take. I'll tell you this, though. It only took us 30 seconds to make the pick, but then we were just gloating about why it is such a pick that makes so much sense, and if anyone goes the other way, it makes zero sense.
I know
That's
where they're going.
I know
I
where
guess?
They're going, too.
Can I
yeah,
guess?
Yeah, you guess, Noodles.
You're going
Go
with
ahead.
The Bills. You're going with the Bills.
Of course we're going with the Buffalo Bills. Absolutely, we're going with the Bills. You look at what they've been able to do up in Foxborough the last couple of years. In the post-Brady era, they've outscored the Patriots 71-30. 71-30. I think Josh Allen been in a little bit of a rut. I think it's a get-right game for that offense. I did hear Tasker talking about how Stephon Diggs, they might try and shut him down. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about that. I saw Justin Jefferson go out there and torch him last week.
So sure
I think they do
that.
The exact same thing. Stephon Diggs, okay. He's got 4 touchdowns in 3 trips to Gillette so far in his career. Personally, I think defensively, the secondary's getting healthier. I think they're going to make some big plays tonight, and that rush D's starting to get in shape, which was the only thing that would have worried me. But you look at the last couple of weeks, limited Detroit to 3.1 yards per carry. Browns, Hunt, Chubb only got 2.68 yards per carry. So good luck to Ramondre Stevenson. I don't see New England scoring a whole lot of points here. In fact, I'm projecting an absolute blowout tonight, guys.
Wow.
Because the Pats are whack. The Bills are back, and we're laying the points.
Wow.
That's
brother.
Jack.
Man, wow. That's convincing. I got to be honest with you. That's remarkably convincing. And like, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall to hear these two driving around, one in Toronto, one in L.A., gloating about their Bills pick tonight? I will say, you did mention Von Miller not playing. You talk about the pass rush, yet Miller's not available. That seems significant.
Right. Big game for Big Groot. Their first-round pick from a year ago, I think Groot and Boogie Basham, they'll make some plays tonight. They'll
all
make
right.
some
Belichick.
Plays.
Yeah,
Two words.
Belichick. Bill Belichick. That's what I'll accept. Listen, I think the Bills might be the play, but Belichick's coming off an embarrassing fourth-quarter blow-up kind of loss. They're above 500. They got to stay in it. They got to keep this close. I could see this being a field goal game. I could see it being
honest.
A field goal game.
You carve us, you say we're reeling, you never compliment us.
No.
If it's your pick, you're taking the Bills as well.
I'd probably take the Bills. Yes.
Thank you very much.
I think I'd take the Bills.
I would take the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean,
there you go.
I believe in Bill.
Belichick. Kirk Cousins get 300 yards in primetime football a week ago.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't the same Patriots that they've been. At the end of the day, they really aren't. I think they're punching above their weight right now, to be honest, to be above 500. I think the Bills, it's time to get right and get going for the final stretch here, and this is the night it happens. Big, big evening for Josh Allen.
Yeah, you're calling a blowout. I love how you just stick, like, Tasker in a dumpster. You're like, go take your Steph Diggs take and take a lap because you think Diggs might be going off tonight. Yeah, listen, the Bills – It's a sign of a good team when you've won the last two games and people are poking and prodding on how it happened, right? Like it wasn't good enough. It wasn't successful enough or perfect enough. Meanwhile, because of the circumstances, they have to leave Buffalo. They play Cleveland. They play Detroit. They won both games.
And I think it speaks to the line. Like the line earlier in the week was 5.
Right.
And it's been bet down to 3.5. I think it's an overcorrection. So getting those extra points by taking the Bills, we are definitely in love with that selection.
Yeah. That's the fact, Jack!
You guys are happy with the Bills tonight. Laying 3.5. Imagine how quickly things have turned. Like, for 20 years, the idea of the Bills laying points against Belichick in primetime, it just, like, how big of the spread would it have been if it was shoe on the other foot 10 years ago?
Oh, you know, Trent Edwards or J.P. Lawson was under center. This is a 10-point spread.
Yeah, minus 9.5, 11.5, maybe 12.5, like minimum. And that's how things have changed without Brady and with Josh Allen, ultimately, and what's going on in Buffalo. All right, Al's brother. Well, good pick. Good pick. You guys are on the Bills 3.5 tonight, courtesy of FanDuel. And then we got a bunch of games still to go this weekend, and I think there's about a 30-pack left. Right, because there's going to be some Saturday games late in the year that we're going to bet on too.
Yeah.
So, a lot of time left. All right. Yes,
we
I'm
have
not
to come up with.
So well,
we have to come up with a like. There's got to be some consequences. Like you got to shave your eyebrows if
get serious.
I don't know.
Shave your eyebrows.
Now it's consequences. If there were consequences last year based on your history,
okay, that,
you guys
we,
would be.
We never discussed it. We never discussed it. But we have to come up with something. Al's brother, do you have something?
Well, we did have that conversation earlier in the year where he's got to don this bad boy if he does, in fact, or when he does, rather, take the L for an entire show.
Luke's brother's
hat. Luke's Bros Incorporated hat. On Hazy B's head for the whole show when he inevitably loses
will
this,
never
this matchup.
Will never happen because it's sickening to even see that hat. Dude, sickening.
That's it, though. Well, I don't know. I'll wear my Hayes Barry Colts jersey but you got to wear the Luke's Brothers Incorporated.
All right, fine. Put that on the line. That's how confident I am that the tide is starting to turn. Things are happening. The wheels are in motion, and it begins tonight with the Pats covering and possibly winning outright, and I look forward to it happening. And then an immaculate week is right around the corner, and then before you know it, man, I'm gloating again. Beansy's pictures all over the web,
exactly.
And it's a beautiful thing.
That's
beautiful,
been tucked away for a while. Bed. We haven't seen a Beansy. It's been so long.
Beansy's been a while. Beansy, it's been a while. Yeah, admittedly, Beansy's been on ice for quite some time. All right, Al's brother, good luck with it tonight, buddy. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys.
There he is. Our buddy Al's brother making the pick for Luke's Brothers. They are on the Bills, -3.5 at Foxborough tonight. That line courtesy of FanDuel. So, all right, there you go. No tie, but a good hat. Sharp. Al's brother always bringing tremendous information. Lots of energy. That's why we love him. And we'll see. See what he's got in store.
For some reason, I've always, I like Belichick. I don't know if they can get it done, but it would be nice to see them get it done. Like, for me.
I'm not willing to bet against a tighter game because it's Belichick. You know what I mean? Way to keep it close. Right. And the Bills have stepped on their own toes recently to keep games close, you know. So I think the play is Buffalo, but, you know, it's prime time. It's going to be cold. It's Belichick, and the Pats need the win more than the Bills do.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going against the Buffalo Bills and a lot possibly going in the direction of the New England Patriots. So we'll find out tonight. We'll come back, continue to look ahead to that. The Leafs with a win last night. The Raptors losing badly. Zion Williamson went off last night, man. He had himself an evening. We'll get into that more still to come. And our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
All right.
All right, legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune in to News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for SickKids December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. Bills, Pats tonight, Leafs off, Raptors off, and World Cup group stage wrapping up tomorrow. It's been bedlam, man.
Like Duffy bedlam. Coming home now or what?
Wow.
I don't know exactly what's going on there.
Like some, obviously, the soccer crew was staying, but wasn't he kind of mainly there for the Canada games and... I don't know.
It's a good question.
Know.
Like in terms of the coverage, like how many people are over there covering just Canada now that they're out? What are you sticking around for? I mean, obviously the World Cup is worthy of coverage, and TSN will continue to cover it. You'll see every game. They'll have panels, but I'm talking more reporters and stuff. Like if Canada's out and you were flying over there to follow Canada, what are you doing now?
I can break down games. I'll do individual matchups. I'll do special teams. But if I ever got an email that said, here is the layout for a 3-hour pregame show, I think I would fall down on the floor. They were doing 3-hour pregame shows, man.
But were they not running features and stuff, too? I think there was, like, you know, long interviews and features and stuff, too. You're not just sitting there, like, flat out breaking down every, you know, situation. I mean, I felt like watching it, there was some, you know, there was a little bit of opportunity.
Oh,
you gotta have stuff banked.
I used to say to Sean Cameron all the time, jokingly, if it's a brutal period and you have to come up with something, I'm like... My classic line is, find a Michael Farber piece because we got nothing going on here. Nothing
Farber,
going on.
Like a narrated piece.
Narrated piece that's 7 minutes long because there's nothing going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the score after the first is 0-0. The shots are 5-3.
Yeah, and it's just no good plays, no breakdowns. It's just nothing out there.
Run a Farber piece. On, like, him interviewing, like, Daryl Sittler or something. Yeah, right.
Something. Find a Farber piece.
That's the equivalent of playing like Stairway to Heaven if you're on like a rock station. You're like, I need 11 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to go for three darts.
I got to go to the bathroom here. Like,
I need play Stairway and then I should be good. That is true. Well, listen, that's production 101. There's a lot of heavy lifting that goes into that. But this is familiar territory with Canada being out. We've never experienced a World Cup where they've been out of the group stage. So it's not as if we're going to be dealing with some unique situation moving forward. But we got to wait 4 years until we get to see what they've got. Yeah. And they go 0-3, lose all three matches. They did score a goal. Like, that'll be what will be remembered is Davies scored, and they almost beat Belgium. Like, that's basically it. Davies scored, you almost beat Belgium. That's it. That's a positive takeaway. Yes, you got experience. Yes, you showed up. There was no, you know, gong show kind of crazy. Like, Herdman put himself on the map, maybe from more of a negative standpoint, for sure. He's dealing with a bit of a different narrative and through a different lens today than I would say he did when he showed up in Qatar. Yeah.
And Hayes, but, you know, I'm kind of fascinated with the whole experience comment. If they don't have a better squad the next time, how much is the experience that an Alphonso Davies gained? You know what I mean? It's just sometimes it's either you're good enough and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if they don't have a better team, the experience that they had at this World Cup, it doesn't do them any good.
Well, and it's 4 years from now. You know, it's not like you're back at it in 6 months and you can draw on the experience. You know, and it's you're going to be at home. They're going to be playing games in Toronto or Vancouver. And like that alone is going to add a completely different element.
And the players could say, you know what, it's so intense and every single play is more critical. But it's like as an athlete, you got to already know that. Like, you being at the World Cup means that. You have to know that as an athlete.
Yeah.
And one of the best that it's like this is a big time event and everything is magnified and you've got to try to make something happen. Like, you have to know that.
Yep, you have to. You have to. And listen, a bunch of these guys won't be on the team in 4 years. Yeah. You know, a bunch of them won't be there.
Well, you got to cycle through and get better. So
yeah, exactly. You know. And you got to, or you got to keep up, or you know, improve, whatever it is. Our best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Saw a couple of things the last couple of days. When teams are through, they kind of take their foot off the gas, and it's worth a little sprinkle. You're looking at Brazil. They're already through. Cameroon's playing for something. Plus 380 on a draw. I know it sounds crazy, but Brazil's probably playing their bench. They've already won the group. It's all good. The same thing with Portugal and South Korea. So I kind of like a little sprinkle on a draw with that, too, plus 300. I like the Panthers in Vancouver. I don't think they're going through Western Canada without a win. I think they're going to get one tonight. And Washington, Seattle, the total 6. I'm over the number.
Oh, yeah.
Over the number, Washington, Seattle. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, boys. Good stuff.
Yeah.
See what comes of it tonight. We got Bills, Pats. You know, got NHL games, NBA games. Tomorrow we'll start looking ahead to the Raptors in Brooklyn, Leafs in Tampa on Saturday. Obviously, a lot of slate, a lot of games left in the World Cup and the rest of the weekend in the NFL
Like you're feeling better too, pal.
Yeah, sound better.
Yep. Turned a bit of a corner today. Admittedly, turned a bit of a corner. Thanks for putting up with me the last couple of days. It was a grind.
I thought you were going to strangle me in the first segment yesterday. Why do you want to talk to the producer right now?
Let's put Nick on.
I wasn't ecstatic with Rick McElroy.
I told Jamie, I'm like, I wanted to start the show today with A-Rod on camera in the studio to see your head pop right off your body.
It probably would have.
Please do.
Oh, I know it would have.
Yeah. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Anything's possible. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.